Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Have you heard about Cell AED? It's the world's first mini personal defibrillator. You can keep it at home, the office, or even in your sports bag. Cell AED is game-changing technology that you can use if someone has sudden cardiac arrest, which can affect anyone from kids on the sporting field to adults at home. Sudden cardiac arrest happens suddenly with no warning. You only have minutes to get the defibrillator on the person affected. That's where Cell AED comes in. You could help save the life of someone you love. Every home should have a Cell AED. It's really a lifesaver. Learn more at cellaed.io. That's CELLAED.io. Please enjoy this interview now for the Afternoon Sports Group. It's Robbie Williams, English-born singer, songwriter and superstar. He's had 7 number one hits in the UK and all but one of his 14 studio albums have gone to number one. I really hope you enjoyed this interview with Robbie, who's a husband, a father and a football lover. And to say I'm excited, well, that's an understatement. Please enjoy the interview. We're here with Robbie Williams, and we're talking kids, mate. I thought we were going to talk about rock and roll, sport.
This is what it all comes to at the end of the day, doesn't it, really? This journey brings us to our children and what we do to facilitate a better life for them than we had, which, it happens, might have something to do with sport for me. I know it's definitely had something to do with sport for you.
You love your football? Do you still have your football paddock at the backyard in LA or not?
I used to have my own football field. I used to have my house,
yep.
But then I used to have my football house just over the way from my house. And it was the Field of Dreams. It overlooked the San Fernando Valley. And there was like 7 floodlights, speakers surrounding it, and then a net that went over the top that kept the ball in. And then there was a clubhouse. And then I met my wife and we had children and I had to let it go.
Was that the house where Joe Pesci lived next door?
Joe Pesci lived next door.
Oh, what's the story where someone parked him in and...
Well, all the boys parked on his drive and he came in. I wasn't there for that game. But he arrived with his dog and like a 9-iron. And did the effing and jeffing and the you doing it, which is like, you know, proper Goodfellas stuff. And then I felt incredibly bad about letting down Joe Pesci, but also Joe Pesci, you know, what's he going to do? What's he capable of? So I went and got a sign. The next day, no parking on the drive, and hit the sign into the soil.
Yeah.
Went out for a meal that night in an Italian restaurant, and this Italian guy came over to him and he goes, "I like what you did for Joey today." It's like, oh my God, how did? I was like, a pleasure. Yeah. It will never happen again. Yeah. And so news travels fast.
You gave him a kiss, and you're on a.
Okay, yeah, and like everybody was sort of genuflecting and holding his hand and like kissing him on both cheeks as he left, this Italian fellow who was obviously connected some sort. And I'm a very awkward person at the best of times, and I thought I better ingratiate myself with him as I leave. And he was stood on a step and I was sort of awkwardly leant in, but he didn't reciprocate. So I just kissed his Adam's apple and then walked out of the restaurant with my tail between my
legs.
Lucky
you walked out, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, I always say that when I was playing sport, cricket, right, sportsmen, to be really good at sport, you have to be somewhat unemotional. And by that I mean you have to do things day in, day out, no matter what the game situation is, and what pressures from home, you have to be able to perform. But to be a musician or an artist, it's totally emotional. So whenever I met musicians in my life, they all want to be sportsmen and we all want to be musicians. So it's opposites attract. Have you found that?
I found that...
Are you happy just to be a rock
star? No. I think I've got the best job. There was an awful long time where... until time ran out, You know, when you get to like 32 and you go, oh, I could still do a bit. If they called me up now, whoever it is they are, and I was never good enough to be a professional sportsman, but there was a pining and a longing to be something. But since, you know, middle age has ensued, and I'm now 49, 50 next birthday.
Likewise.
I know I've got the best job in the world.
You do.
You know, because like I was on some World Cup program where they were saying, you know, wouldn't you swap that in a heartbeat? And it was like, no way.
No.
Like, I've done the San Siro Stadium where they're all looking at me going, Robbie, and every goal, every song I score, every song I sing, I'm scoring a goal.
Yeah.
So,
mate,
no, I've got the best job.
We used to tour India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Yeah, I'm going to be a rock star. Anyway, I'm just saying. The world of sport is changing, I believe. You're seeing guys like Ryan Reynolds who are actually buying teams. And I think it's almost as important now for who owns the team or the franchise. That's part of the whole marketing piece. Would you ever buy your own sporting team or franchise?
I'm never in the UK long enough to do that. If I lived in the UK full time, then I definitely would. But I've been in Los Angeles for 23 years now. So it would be a pointless investment in me investing in something that's going to take a lot of money where I'm not even going to be in the country. But that being said, you know, the Ryan Reynolds thing that's happened is intoxicating. It's a beautiful story and it's fascinating, a fairy tale story. I'd like to be involved in something like that. I've, you know, my big love in football is Port Vale, a very small team in the UK. So somewhere down the line, I'll have something to do with it.
So if you bought them, you could play. What was your position in football?
Oh, left back.
If you could play left back,
it's never too late,
Robbie.
It is. The back is shot. What are your leftovers from your sporting career? What's?
Oh, mate. So my last game for Australia, I didn't get picked for the Indian tour. So I was good all season. Went on a bender for 2 weeks. I got a call from the selector, Trevor Holmes, and I was in a nightclub. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm just having a drink after work. Come to India right now. Get to the airport." He goes, "Have you been training?" I go, "Yeah, of course I have." And I hadn't, right? So I fly to India. There's now the Shane Lee clause in Cricket Australia because I flew straight in, landed 14 hours, someone got injured warming up. I was playing and I got 30 runs not out off 14 balls, couldn't cool down. And then I had to bowl off McGrath who went for none for 30. And as I bowled my third over, I walked back and Gilchrist reckons I just went and I collapsed, passed out, never played again. Can't do any more for your country.
Wow.
Yeah, the end.
You gave it all and that was it? That was the end?
That was it.
Why? So why? Because like you didn't do a bad job, so you did a great job.
Yeah, but I was just...
So why? Why?
I probably should have those gin and tonics on the way over.
And what was the when you went to the doctors, what did they say happened to you?
I was dehydrated, yeah. So you have to be on the ground now for more than 48 hours under the new contract law.
So why was that the end though? I know it's perfect, it's very cinematic. You did a great job for your autobiography, but...
The team was changing and Steve Waugh was captain. He was on
the way out.
How old
were you then?
I was 29.
That's young.
Yeah.
So you'd still got a bit of mileage in the tank. Do you feel as though there was more caps that were robbed from you?
Yes and no. I was sort of over it by then too. I had a knee injury, which means I couldn't bowl as well as I wanted to.
Did you find that you constantly fell in and out of love with the game anyway?
Yeah, I always do. I love the game. I love sport. Yeah.
But when you were playing, because like you were saying before at the start of this, that you have to be almost robotic to, you know, repeat the thing. You know, there's got to be... The question I'll ask you is this.
I love this.
What you thought it was going to be and what it was it better or worse than what you thought it was going to be?
Much better.
It was better than what you thought it was?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, yeah. It was intimidating when you first start. The worst thing for me is when I was actually doing well and got dropped. That was the hard bit to take. When you get dropped when you're not performing, get that.
Why did you get dropped when you were
They were changing the side. Steve Waugh was doing like a rotational policy thing. It's just like I got rotated with other all-rounders. Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be very debilitating.
It is.
Because, you know, success thrives on success and it's got to be backwards to your emotions and your insides when you're doing so well and then you get discluded.
Can I ask you a question, mate? Because I reckon, I've seen you a number of times in concert, I reckon you are the best modern day performer.
Thank you very much.
Really do.
Thank you.
every guy wants to be you, every girl.
I get a lot of love in Australia.
You do, mate. And you deserve it.
I'm a big fan of Australia. They let me be me down there. They sort of embrace it and go, good on you.
Do you remember the point in time where you were on stage when you went, I'm now at the top of my game?
Yeah, it's the beginning of this year.
Really?
Yeah. I think that I'm actually now just beginning to be fully formed as an entertainer. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all been bluff and bollocks. All my life, just been, you know, pretend and quick and do this and massive shapes, and I've gotten away with it.
Do you really believe that?
Like, well, whatever I was getting away with, it appealed to a great number of people because they bought tickets and come back and saw it again. But actually, this year's the first year as a 49-year-old I go, I respect myself now. Whereas before, I thought I was just taking the piss and was being lucky. Now I actually think that there's something about me that's worth coming to see.
I love that. And we'll finish on that, mate. Beautiful. Okay. Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you.
Good start, mate. Thanks for tuning in to Afternoon Sport Monaco series. Don't miss an episode. Find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, on YouTube or any of our social media platforms. AfternoonSport.com.
If you're ready for your next thoroughbred racing adventure, then join the Osher Group. They exceed expectations on what racehorse ownership should look like. Australia's racing industry is enjoying unprecedented growth. Through a strategic, well-managed and data-driven approach, there is now a very real opportunity to build a profitable and sustainable thoroughbred portfolio. Find the Osher Group online at theoshergroup.com.